Okay, so if you've been with us, you know that last week we talked about how John the Baptist was baptizing and crowds were gathering around him. And Jackie read the text where Jesus, this is Matthew's writing of it, Jesus gets baptized. You'll note something later that only one of the versions of the story tells you is that Jesus prayed. And that's in Luke. Luke's the only person that tells you that why he was being baptized at some point, whether it was why he was in the water or when he come out of the water or right before he went down, Jesus prayed. Okay? And that's important. Because here's the thing is, and I'll say this, if Jesus had to pray, how much more do we have to pray? If Jesus, who was God in the flesh, would pray, how much more do we have to pray? And that isn't even one of my points. That's just thrown in there because Jesus prayed at this point in his ministry, okay? But so we've got this vision in our heads. Everybody's got this vision of how this happened. My vision is like John the Baptist hanging out in the Jordan. He's been preaching. Now he's in the water, standing there, and there is a queue or a line, if you're American, of people lining up, queuing up. Okay, and maybe there's a guy at the front, one of John's disciples, who's saying, "What's your name?" And as they go into the water, he yells out their name and where they're from. And then comes Jesus. Jesus comes up and he's standing there because this line is just moving slowly because lots of people are getting baptized. We know Jesus wouldn't have just pushed in because he wasn't that type of guy. He would have waited his turn. And he gets to the bank, and they go, "Jesus from Nazareth." And it's like, wow, this is Jesus. And nobody knows who Jesus is, by the way. He's just a guy. But even John didn't know, except for he was his cousin, once he realized that, "Oh, that's my cousin. I haven't seen him for years. What's he doing here?" Okay? Because I don't think John knew who he was at that present time. John didn't know he was even the Messiah, because that's why I had Jackie read that text, until what? The dove came down and landed on him. The Spirit came down and landed on him. Then John, the light bulbs went off, and John was like, "Oh, this is the one I've been proclaiming." But he still wasn't sure. We know this for certain, that John, even after that, started to doubt. John does start to doubt. Because we know that, because when he was in prison, he sent his disciples to say to Jesus, "Are you the Messiah?" I said that last week, and Jesus said some stuff. If the blind see and all whatever, you know. And that's what he sent back to him. And John was like, he got that though. John understood then. And John was at peace right before he gets his head lobbed off and served on a platter. Okay? That was how we ended, really, the end of last week, is that John got his head. But now we're going to go back because Luke writes, tells you that John ended up arrested. And then he goes, "Oh, by the way, Jesus got baptized." Basically, he doesn't say it like that, but that's what I'm saying. He goes, "Oh, I forgot the most important thing." And this is how he goes. The scripture says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him." So John shows up. I mean, Jesus shows up to John to get baptized by him. Luke says this, "Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized." So this text is saying maybe Jesus was the last in the queue. You know, he'd waited for everybody else to get baptized that was there that day. Okay? Because this is towards the end of John the Baptist's ministry. John the Baptist has been ministering for 6 months, because that's why Luke's just told us he gets arrested and thrown into jail. He ain't doing no more baptizing. Okay? And Jesus also had been baptized. It's like he just throws it out there. I love Luke just throws that. Oh, by the way, and Jesus got baptized and was praying, and the heavens were opened. That's significant, by the way. That text is so significant. This is a unique and unique baptism. It's unique because why was Jesus getting baptized? Think about it. Jesus was a perfect human specimen. Fully God, fully man, never sinned. Okay? He was perfect. Yet, he's getting baptized. This was a baptism of repentance. This is not the baptism we do today, by the way. When you or me accept Christ, okay, as our Savior, we get baptized. That's what we're supposed to do. And it's supposed to be in that order, by the way. You're supposed to realize that you've been saved, okay, that the Holy Spirit has become upon you. So really, you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, which he talks about, John talks about, that Jesus is going to bring a better baptism, and that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then you get baptized in a church. This is what that's like. Do you have the wedding before you get the marriage certificate? No. You have to get the marriage certificate first before you get married. Okay? There's a ceremony, but before you get the ceremony, you have to have the marriage certificate. Okay? Being saved is the marriage certificate, especially in Illinois, because you do all your work as a married couple through the state before you even do your vows. Because if you haven't noticed, you don't sign anything when the day you get married. You don't sign anything. You've already signed all the paperwork you're signing when you were at the courthouse filling out that work. Okay? And then you get married, and the clergy or whoever does the wedding has 10 days to turn that paperwork in, or you're not married. And they're in trouble. Okay? That's why I hand deliver mine, because I don't want to get in trouble. So this is what it is. Accepting Christ, because this is how accepting Christ happens. The Holy Spirit comes upon you. Because we taught this in Ephesians, you are saved before you even know you're saved. See, that's what election is. God chose you, he saves you, and then you realize that you're saved, okay? And then you tell people, look, I've accepted Christ as my Savior. The next step is the ceremony. The next step is the ceremony. That's why it would be stupid to go get a marriage certificate. For one, they expire, and then not use it, wouldn't it? I mean, if you're really committed to that person and you love that person and you want to get married to that person, you get the marriage certificate, and then you have a ceremony to tell everybody, she's mine, I'm hers. That's what baptism is for us. It's not the baptism we're going to talk about today, but I want to explain to you, this baptism is not the same baptism as we celebrate today. That was a baptism of repentance. This is a baptism, but what we celebrate today as Christians today is a baptism of rebirth. But it's an outward expression of an inward action that the Holy Spirit is taking care of, because you have already been baptized by the Holy Spirit. That baptize, the baptized we do as Christians is just a symbol. It's just a ceremony to show other people, I've accepted Christ, I am now dead to sin and alive in Christ. And if we wrap our heads around that, it means we act differently after we're saved. We're not the same people once we've accepted Christ as our Savior. Now, Jesus is going to get baptized. Well, he was baptized, but in my story, he's going to get baptized. So Jesus is waiting to get baptized with a bunch of sinners. Why do you think John says, no. I can't baptize you. There's many reasons that John said that he couldn't baptize him. For one, John was worried about what other people thought. Because if he baptizes Jesus, Jesus is associating with a baptism of repentance, so that makes Jesus not perfect. You see, he was worried about what other people would think, and he was saying, oh, no, I can't baptize you. That's really what he was saying. He was saying, I can't baptize you. What are other people going to think if I baptize you? This is a baptism of repentance. You don't need to repent. You're perfect. And Jesus says, no, you do what you're supposed to do. What God called you to do, and I'll do what God called me to do. And here's the thing is, how many times do you think that when the family took their offering and they get their meat back, the sacrificial meat, they get some of it back to eat, it's Jewish tradition, okay? Do you think Jesus ate their meals? That was a meal to say that you a sinner, you've had to put the sacrifice. Now you eat the flesh of that animal that was sacrificed, okay? Jesus would have ate their meals. Did Jesus have anything to repent of? You know, you got to think of the 30 years before this, how Jesus lived his life. Jesus did everything that he was supposed to do. We know, because he went to the Last Supper, that he did the traditions. Didn't he? Passover. Why did Jesus need to celebrate Passover? Jesus really didn't need to celebrate Passover. He's God. But he did all the customs of his people. One of the reasons Jesus gets baptized is he's doing what righteous people do. He's doing what the Father said that you need to do. One of the reasons. The one of the reasons, there's many reasons. One of the reasons is because he has got to what? Identify with sinners. See, this is the start of Jesus' ministry. This is where Jesus' ministry actually starts. So what he's doing is, all these people that are repenting, and if I'd been in the line, I'd have had to be there for a few days, repenting and repenting and repenting and repenting before I got dunked in the water, you know. But at that point, Jesus went into the water to identify with sinners. He wanted to identify with the sinners. You see, this was when God pulled back a curtain, okay, and came into the world to actually be proactive. To now say, this is the time, everything's in place. History has caught up with the time I need to send somebody. See, here's the thing, if Jesus came today, Jesus wouldn't be punished. He wouldn't. because people believe everything and anything, and they would be so many people on his team that there wouldn't be no punishment for sin, and so he had to come at the perfect time when prophecies before say that he was going to hang on a cross or hang on a tree, it says, but it was the cross, right? They didn't do that. That was invented after the fact. That was invented by the Romans. So who had to be in charge when Jesus came? The Romans. All of the stuff that happened at a specific time because God needed to happen at a specific time because God needed Jesus to die a specific way to pay for our sin. There has never been a more excruciating, painful way to die than on a crucifix. See, Jesus didn't just die on a crucifix. He got whipped and flesh tore out. And by the way, nowhere in history has both occurred to the same person except for Jesus. See, they didn't do that. Romans wouldn't have done that. You see, the punishment, that the scourging that happened to Jesus was the punishment. They were so good at it that they would keep you from an inch of death. So when you healed, nobody would recognize you anymore because you were so brutally disformed from the beating they gave you. See, when we look at pictures of the cross and when we look at what Jesus actually does, we have no imagination to even think how grotesque it would have been when he was brought back and they chose to put him on a cross. And a cross was the most excruciating way to die because what they would do is they would nail through your wrists and through your ankles to the cross. And you would hang there, and when you would breathe, you would have to pull yourself up to get air in your lungs. And if they wanted to be really good, which they didn't do to Jesus, but if they wanted to torture you really well, they had a little seat there. So you lived a little longer in the excruciating pain. This is why Jesus came. So he knew all of that. Jesus himself actually calls that his baptism. You see, here's the thing is that it was a unique baptism at this point because he didn't need to be baptized. He wanted to identify you so he could do that, so he could carry the sins of the world and go and pay for them. See, he needed to do everything we did without sinning. So he needed to get baptized so he could associate with our sin. So it could be almost transferred onto him at that point. I think the full transformation of that sin being put on his life happens in the garden. See, this is how we're really, the first part, we're introduced to Jesus. Isaiah 53:12 says this, therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because what? He poured his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Jesus had to be numbered, even though he wasn't a transgressor, he had to be numbered with them. Else he couldn't pay for our sin. This is how we need to look at Jesus. Luke 3, 22 says this, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved son. With you, I am well pleased. Matthew 3:16-17 said that, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. You know, have you ever had anybody tell you that the Trinity isn't real because they can't find the word in the Bible? Because the word isn't in the Bible. So they tell us that it doesn't exist because that word's not in the Bible. But our weak, feeble minds had to come up with an explanation, okay, of how to explain what God is, okay? There was a time when it was people thought, and it was a big idea, and some of it's coming back today, that God is not three persons, okay? See, God was in heaven, and he left his heavenly dwelling place and became Jesus. And then he left. When he left, the Holy Spirit is God in form. So he can't be all three at once. Because people have a problem with wrapping their head around that God, the person, can be three people. But the problem with that is you want to understand God. How silly is that? To think that we could ever understand God. You can memorize every word in Scripture. You can read it in its native tongue, and you will never understand God. I will tell you this. You can die, go to heaven, dwell in heaven for eternity, and I'm going to tell you this. You'll never understand God. We'll never understand God on this side of heaven and the next. And I'll tell you why. Because if we could, it would make us gods. And we are not gods. We are created beings that God created. But anybody who tells you the Trinity is not real. This is the Trinity exposed. See, Jesus came. It says, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form. I like the way Matthew writes it, where it tore, the heavens tore open. Do you know why? Because it reminds me of not only creation when the Spirit comes down and dwells and floats over the water. I think I've got that text here. Genesis 1 through 3 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And just so you know, John writes this about the Word of God. He writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now, John is talking about who? He's talking about Jesus. So when we hear Jesus, God speak, let there be, that is Jesus saying, let there be. You've got God, you've got the Son, and you've got the Holy Spirit. And this is beautiful because guess what? Right now, at his baptism, the
the curtain has been torn open. Does that remind you of anything else in the story? What else when God wanted to separate? He wants to come and be with us. The curtain gets torn open. When Jesus dies on the cross, guess what? From the top to the bottom, the curtain gets torn to separate this void that was there. It was so God. Jesus came for one sole purpose. One sole purpose. To pay for our sins so we could have a relationship with God. So he has now got solidarity with sinners because he got baptized with the sinners. We are introduced to Jesus. You know the beautiful thing about Jesus? And if you're a sinner like me, this will make you happy. Sinners loved Jesus. They couldn't get enough Jesus, by the way. It was the religious folk that hated Jesus. Everything he did, they didn't like. Sinners loved him. Luke does a very good job of telling you throughout his book how much sinners love him. Luke says this, Jesus says this in Luke, if we flip the page into the chapter we'll be in a couple of weeks. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. See, he had to fulfill prophecy. The Spirit had to come down and be on him. This blows my mind. This means Jesus, who is God in the flesh, had God in the Spirit with him while he walked and did his ministry. People just have to read their Bible to see that they all exist and they all exist at the same time. Because if he's saying the Spirit of the Lord is upon him here, he also prays to his Father. And if he's all the same person and he can only be one at a time, what's he do? His body just disappears and he goes up to answer, and then Jesus appears and God appears and Jesus appears and God appears. That's how I have an easier time understanding that the Trinity actually exists. I don't understand anything about the Trinity, by the way, so don't ask me to explain it ever. Because I don't think I'll ever understand it. I've tried to read books about the Trinity, and they confuse me more than they help me. Okay? But I do believe that God is the same person, but he's three people in one. I think the Bible is explicit about this. But the Spirit is upon him because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. That's you and me, by the way. You might not be physically blind, but at some point you were spiritually blind. Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age, being the son, as was supposed, of Joseph, the son of Heli. Here's the thing is, and I don't know what I'm going to do now next week, because I was going to talk about the temptation of Jesus and start there. But I'm actually probably going to preach on these names. Not on the names, but the importance of these names. Because if you read your Bible, how many people know that these names aren't the same names that Matthew says? Nope. So either the Bible's wrong, which I don't believe, or there is something to this more, and I believe there's something more to this list of names than there is to Matthew's list is important. Because to Jewish people, by the way, to Jewish culture, they could ancestry name their generations for hundreds of years. They knew their generations. They knew where they were from. It was important to them because they needed to know what tribe of Jewish people they belonged to. So they knew their ancestry. It was passed on from generation to generation to generation. But this was when Jesus beginning, this was the beginning of his revealing. Revealing who he was. See, God came down. Now, I'm not saying everybody's seen this, by the way, because the Bible doesn't say that. Obviously, John seen the dove as the Holy Spirit land upon Jesus, because that's when he come to realization, this is who I've been came to do my ministry for, this Jesus. But he revealed himself. And he starts his ministry here at age 30. See, God was breaking into human history with a revelation. The Messiah is here. I've promised you a Savior. Here he is. See, when Jesus comes, he separates the barrier between God and man. And by the time we're done with the book of Luke in 2027, we will see the fulfillment of this, of the fact that Jesus now has separated, that curtain has been torn forever. See, what happened on this baptism was that the sky, the heavens opened, God spoke, the heavens closed. Because at that point, by the way, God could not be physically in the presence of man, because not because God couldn't be in the presence of man, but if God was in the presence of man would just turn to ash because of their sinfulness. But Jesus, during his life, made a way for that. And that is the start. This is the very start of that ministry where he is going to do the things he's going to do to show that he is who he says he is. He's going to do the ministry that his Father called him to do. For us, we need to do the ministry that God has called us to do. We need to be the people God called us to be. We don't need to be sitting on the bench waiting to be called. I think some of us do that a lot. We're sitting on the bench waiting for somebody else to call us into ministry when we've already been called. Do you know when you was called? The day you were saved. You've been sitting on the bench a long time if you have not been serving him. Because the day you were called was the day you got called to serve him. Because that's what you do when you have a Lord. Because he's not just Savior, he is also Lord. So he gets to tell us how to do stuff, how to behave, how to worship, how to love. It's all him. We're going to skip over them names because I'm going to talk about them next week. I've got to find the end. So next week, we're not going to read that text. We can read that text, but you're going to read. I want you to read. This is what I want you to do. I want you to read Matthew 1, because that gives you a list of names. And I want you to read the end of Luke 3, because that gives you a list of names. Okay? And I'm a firm believer, as hard as it is, because there's some books with a lot of names in, right? A lot more than this, right? That every word of Scripture is written there for a purpose. Every word, even if it's a name, it's written there for a purpose. So we're going to dig in next week and see why, for one, these two lists are different, and to see what that means for us. And I know some of the answers, so I think it's important. And we're going to talk about names. Let us pray, and then John's going to come lead us out. I did good because I wanted to get done early because we've got a meeting, and I don't want to keep everybody all day. So I wanted us to be over at a reasonable time. So as I could have talked for another hour about these names. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We thank you that you sent your Son, and on the day of his baptism, you tore back the curtain to reveal not only who he was, but the true God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, the one true God, three persons in one. We only have a word that we have made up to explain what it is. But we know, God, that we'll never fully understand it. We'll never fully understand you. But help us to be more like Jesus, to willingly do the ministry that you've called us to do, to willingly submit our lives to what you've called us to do. Help us to be that kind of person that loves like Jesus, that serves like Jesus. Help us to do that. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.